Welcome to Glory Light Chapel, the radio ministry of Glory Light Live. I would like to welcome everyone sitting in this room, and also those of you who may be tuned in through internet radio from wherever you may be sitting on the face of this planet. It is our privilege that you are here, and it is our prayer that you will receive a blessing from our message today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. We pray that you will send your angels to worship with us and to drive away the evil one. We pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to prepare us to receive the blessings you have made ready for us and to guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we have been studying the book of John, and we have come to the last chapter. John chapter 21. Jesus has just been crucified. He's just been resurrected. And it says in John 21 verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise, showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. You know what? God holds our right hand. The right hand is the hand of action. The right hand is the hand of power. And so God holds our right hand. Now, some of us are left-handed and some of us are ambidextrous, but for the most part, most of us are right-handed. And so that is the hand of power. That is the hand of action. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, and we'll look at verse 13, where it tells us this very thing. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 13. This is something I don't want anybody to ever forget. If you feel like you're ever alone, like the disciples were out on the water and not catching anything, I want you to read this text. Verse 13, For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. So whose hand is he holding? Yours. He's holding you. We don't hang on to him. He's holding us. We just simply say, Thank you, Lord, and let him hold us. That's what this is all about. Now, let's go to the New Testament, the book of Matthew. And we'll look at chapter 28. Matthew chapter 20. Talking about the right hand of power. Matthew 28 and verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Well, if Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth, that's all power everywhere, how much does that leave for Satan? There's none. Can Satan have any power over you at all if Christ is around? Absolutely not. So let me read that again. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then in verse 19 it says, Go ye therefore. Now what is the therefore? It's there because Christ has all power. So with Christ having all power, we can go. We can do things. It's our hand of power, our hand of action. And so it says in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now, I had a question come up this week. What if I teach them all these things and they still won't do it? What if I teach them all these things and they come and they say they love God and yet they still will not do what God says? It's not our responsibility to convert anyone. What does this verse say to do? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. That is those who are ready for baptism. And then in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So our job is to what? Teach. Our job is to tell them how much God loves them. Our job is to tell them about the power of God in their lives. And we were studying about that this morning in the Sabbath school lesson regarding the creation. Well, one other text, by the way, Jesus still has all power. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Still talking about the right hand of power. 1 Samuel chapter 10. And we're going to look at verses 6 and 7. Now, when we know who it is who has all power in the universe, and we know that that one who has all that power is holding our hand of action. 1 Samuel 10, verses 6 and 7, it says right here, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee." Now, what Spirit is that? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the power of God. And then it says, "And thou shalt prophesy with them and shalt be turned into another man." God is going to make you over into a new creature with his act of creation, his powerful voice speaking his righteousness into you. Just believe it and say thank you. And then in verse 7, let me read 6 and 7 together. "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee." And from the NIV it says, once, verse 7, "Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you." So we don't need to try to figure this out. We don't need to try to know what we are to do. We are simply to give ourselves to the Lord and do what he prompts us to do. And do it with all our power and all our might and all our heart and all our soul. And let God be our strength. And let God be our glory. Okay, back to chapter 21 of John. Let's go back to John, chapter 21. And let's look at verse 6 again, and then we'll go on to verse 7. "And they said unto him, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes." While they were doing their own thing, they couldn't get anything done. But when they were doing how Christ was prompting them, how Christ was leading them, then they had a rich harvest. Now, that doesn't mean that in the work with people that you're going to see that harvest. The harvest will be there, but we may or may not perceive it. And so when Jesus was on earth and he was doing his work, and he was saying things that were bothering the people, they left him. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Will you leave me also?" And so Jesus couldn't perceive all of what he was doing, although I'm sure he knew better than we could know. All right, let's go to verse 7. "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now, who is the disciple that Jesus loved? Well, John's writing this, so he's talking about himself, but I think Jesus loved all the disciples and not just John, but that's just a figure of speech referring to himself. And he says to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. Well, the Greek word can mean without any clothes. But here, in this context, in this verse, it means clad in the undergarment only. So he's not the kind of naked that we might think that he was. And so he had taken his outer garment off, which was normal when you're going to be working hard. And so that's what it's saying here. So let me read that again. "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea." And I would find it hard to swim with a coat around me, but nevertheless, that's what he did. Verse 8, "And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, or about 100 yards, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Verse 10, "And Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land so full of great fishes, and 153, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that he was risen from the dead." Now, there's an interesting passage in John 21 using the words agape and phileo. If you heard the sermon last week, we talked about this. If not, you can hear it now for the first time. But starting with verse 15. Now remember, Peter had just denied the Lord three times. He did that during Christ's trial. And Jesus is asking Peter those three famous questions, "Lovest thou me?" So let's read verses 15 to 17. John 21:15. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Verse 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, all things thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. The first two times, Jesus uses the word agape. But Peter replies with philia. The last time, Jesus uses philia like Peter had been doing, and Peter is grieved. There are no English words to translate the heart of this conversation, and the best we can do is something like this, but it is not exactly the same. Peter, do you love me more than these others that are here? You see, Peter had shown an exalted opinion of his devotion. He had said he would die for Jesus, but he would not claim that kind of devotion now. So he says, Yes, Lord, you know that I like you warmly and tenderly. Second time, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I like you warmly and tenderly. This time, Jesus changes it. Peter, do you like me warmly and tenderly? Oh, Lord, you know all things. You know that I like you. Peter would no longer make the claim that he was willing to die for Christ. By this response, he demonstrated that he had lost his exalted opinion of his devotion. Now he was in a surrendered condition, and he was finally, truly ready to die for Christ, as verses 18 and 19 tell us. Jesus' love for Lazarus is expressed in the word philia. His love for Mary and Martha was always expressed by the word agape. I don't know for sure the reason for this, because Jesus loves the whole world with agape. But Jesus had a close bond of friendship with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, philia as well as agape. Yet it may have been considered improper to use philia with respect to the women, Jesus being a man. You may draw your own conclusions regarding this. By the way, Revelation 3:19 tells us that God likes us warmly and tenderly. So let's read these verses again and try to receive the true meaning of what Jesus is saying or doing. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And he uses the word agape, which is self-sacrificing love. Are you willing to die for me? And Peter answers, and he says unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, phileo, I like you very much. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Now notice that Peter's not claiming to want to or be willing to die for Christ. Now verse 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me, agape? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, phileo. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. So again Jesus asked him, and again Peter would not say he would die for Jesus, but that he just likes him warmly and tenderly. Now verse 17, there's a change. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest, phileo, this time, lovest thou me? Do you like me very much? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? Now, Peter had already said twice that he liked him very much, and so Jesus is asking the third time, Do you like me very much this time, instead of Are you willing to die for me? And Jesus is speaking, and he saith, Peter is speaking, and he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee, that I like thee warmly and tenderly. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verse 18, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Verse 19, This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he had said unto him, Follow me. Now, Peter had been saying, I'm willing to die for you. Now, he's not willing to say that. He's only willing to say, I like you warmly and tenderly. I like you very much. Now, Jesus is telling him, You will die for me, and you will die on the cross for me. And Peter, considering it too much of an honor to be crucified with as Christ was, insisted that he be crucified upside down, and that's the story that I understand it. Now, we may think that we are ready to die for a particular cause, but we are not truly ready until we have died to self spiritually. Peter had thought that he had been ready to die for Jesus, but he denied him instead. Now he was truly ready to die, as his humble answer indicates. Now verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Now this is John that said that, so this is a reference to John. John's referring to himself. Verse 21, Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Well, Jesus has told Peter and anyone who was in hearing distance that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to die for Jesus. But now Peter's wanting to know about John. And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You focus on me. You focus on what I'm doing and what not on what the others are doing. Wow. Peter wants to gossip. This Jesus would not let him do. He would have nothing to do with it. What is that to you? That is none of your business, Peter. Verse 23. Then went this saying abroad, gossip, are you with me? Among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? The operative word here is, what is that to thee? See what gossip does. The facts are not important to those who like to tell stories about other people. Talking about getting the facts straight. So John has to set the record straight regarding what Jesus said about him. Now verse 24. This is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. John's talking about himself. And by saying, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things, John is signing his letter. It's a love John letter, if you want to call it that. And then in verse 25 it says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. God bless everyone. Today is our communion service, and so we will close our sermon right here. And I'll say goodbye to those who are online, and have a good rest of the Sabbath.